way we see things ourselves. Amen? How many know what you think about determines what you will see? Amen? All right, so that was one of my very last scriptures. So we'll go back up to the top. But I wanted you to see that, that just because some people don't believe, does that make God's faithfulness of no effect? And he says, absolutely not. God will do what he says he will do for the believers, no matter how many unbelievers are out there. No matter how many naysayers are out there, God will see his promises come to pass in your life. And God will see his promises come to pass in this nation. Amen. Hallelujah. Now that, I don't know about you, but that gives me hope. When I look at all this junk going on, I'm like, no, no, God, you said. God, you said. When I look at junk going on in my life, I'm like, no, God, you said. You said, I'm standing on the promises. You said you would do it. I believe you're going to do it, and nothing's going to change my mind. Amen. Amen? Now, you can listen to all the negative stuff long enough, and it'll begin to change your mind. Because whether you realize it or not, you are constantly painting the canvas of your mind with some kind of information. The question is, what is going to be the most dominant information on your mind? It's going to be what you spend the time listening to the most. One guy said this way, said it this way, your life will go in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. Your life will go in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. Now, at the end of this message, I'm going to show you where to put your thoughts. I think it's going to be beautiful. All right. Let's go back up here. Let's go to John chapter 8. I want to show you something. Hallelujah. John chapter 8. And I'm going to be reading this out of the New King James. John chapter 8 and verse 31 and 32, it says this, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples. How many consider yourself to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Okay, a few, okay. Of those that raised your hand, do you spend time getting to know his word? Okay, because that's what's required to be a disciple. What is a disciple? It's a disciplined one. It's someone that when you begin to read after someone, you discipline yourself to take on their teachings. Their likeness, their mindset, their views, things like that. And see, here, we want people to take on the views of Jesus. We want people to see things the way Jesus sees them. You know, back over in Isaiah, God said one time, he said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. He wasn't saying that so he could go, nah, 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 I'm greater than you are, right? He was saying that to help us to understand, come on. In other words, he's saying, begin to think the way that I think. If you will think, I used to say this a lot, I need to get back to it more often. We need to learn to think the way God thinks, so we can see the way God sees. Because what you think colors what you see. Right? Two people could come into this building this morning, and I could have, if I'd have been out there shaking hands, one of them could have shook my hand, and they'd have walked off going, man, that was such a nice guy. But another person could come in with a nasty attitude, shake my hand, and they could walk off going, man, that dude's kind of rude. What was the difference? The way they were thinking. I shook their hand the exact same way. I greeted them the same way. I smiled at them the same way. But one could have thought I was being mischievous. The other one thought I was just being polite. It's based on your way of thinking. So if we begin to think like God, we're going to see like God sees. And then when you're able to see the way God sees things, then you'll be able to do the things that God wants you to do. Amen. But it's all found right here in this word. Or let's read this. John chapter 8. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, if, I always talk about the Bible being a book of ifs. The Bible is a book of ifs. People say, well, God's just in control of everything. Well, if God's in control of everything, why are we even praying? If God's in control of everything, why do we even do the things the Bible tells us to do? Because if God's going to do what God's going to do, then it doesn't really matter what we do. But that's not the way it is. God is not. I heard one guy say this one. He said, I was talking to a business guy, and he said he has issue with our God. And I asked him, what's your issue with your God? And he says, well, you keep saying that your God is in control of everything, but me as a businessman, I look at the mess of the world and I think, what kind of leader is he? See? If God was in, I've taught you this before. There's two places God was in control that we can look to. The Garden of Eden, where everything was perfect. Everything was beautiful. No crime, no sin, no problems. And then there's another place called eternity. That if we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're going to step into eternity with God. We're going to be in heaven with the Lord. And that place, the Bible says there is no sickness, there is no disease, there is no dying, there is no crying, there is no pain. That's where God is in control. But something happened in that first place where God was in control. And he gave man a free will. And that man and that woman disobeyed God. He said, do not eat of this tree. Well, the serpent comes in and tries to make her think. He's just trying to keep you from being like him, not knowing that she was already like him. We were already like him. But she yielded to it, and not just she, but her husband, who was sitting right there with her, is just as guilty. Eve gets a big rap. People for years have been like, blamed it on Eve. I'll blame it on the woman. No, you need to blame it on humanity, because Adam was sitting right there. He didn't say anything or do anything to stop her. And he, in fact, he indulged in it himself. He is just as guilty. Come on, men. You with me? It's not the woman's fault. Hallelujah. But when they did that and they yielded to the temptations of the enemy and they yielded to sin, it ushered in sickness, it ushered in disease, it ushered in hatred, it ushered in all this garbage we're dealing with today. So no, God is not in control of this world in the sense that he dictates every little thing that ever happens. That's why he sent Jesus to give us authority so that we could begin to take dominion over the spirits of this world that is causing all the negative stuff to happen. But he's got to find a specific group of people, and they're called believers. Someone that will actually believe this word and live it out and allow God to be who God wants to be through us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, so he says here, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You will know the truth. Well, how are you going to know the truth? Well, he says, if you abide in my word. What if you don't abide in his word? You're not going to know the truth. You're not going to become his disciples indeed. You're not going to know the truth, and you're not going to walk in freedom. Right? But he says, but if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That word know means it is the recognition of truth by personal experience. So as you spend time in his word, as you meditate upon the word of God, it becomes a revelation to you. Revelation is something you know by personal experience. It's not just information. It's a knowing that you know that you know that this stuff is legit. Amen? Anybody ever been reading the Bible and you've read a verse several times? Some of us here talk about this often, me and Roger and Virgin, different ones. But you're sitting along, you're reading the Bible, and you've read this passage like a gazillion times, it seems, throughout your lifetime, maybe. But then this time you read it, and it's almost like it jumped off the page at you. It's like it became real to you. It's like it was no longer just words and ink on a piece of paper, but it's something that it took a life. It took a life form. It's like, whoa, man, that is, I've read that so many times, and I've never seen it like that before. Somebody said this about the Bible. Many books in the world you read, but the Bible is the only book that reads you. The Bible is the only book that reads you, because why? It is the only holy book on the planet. Amen? Now, there are many religions would argue with me on that, but that's their problem. Okay? Amen. So knowing that is by recognition, by personal experience, not just a mental acknowledgement, but a knowing in your heart. Man, I know this book is real. I know my God is real. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But the key to this verse is the abiding in His Word. Jesus says, if you abide in my Word, if you abide in my Word. You know, for time's sake, I'm not going to have you turn there. I'll give you the passage. But over in John chapter 15, that's where it talks about, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it be done for you. And it's talking about abiding. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, but if you separate yourself from me, how can you live, basically? But I'm gonna use that word abide in that passage, even though we're not going to read it, but I gave it to you. You can go read it, John 15, 4 and 5. And verses 7 and 8 talks about that. But even if you just read that whole John chapter 15, read the whole chapter, it's amazing. But the word abide that they use in that passage means this. It means to live. It means to dwell, to continue. You could say it this way, to make it your habitation. How many have a habit of getting in the Word? You need to make it a habit. What is a habit? A habit is something you do without even having to think about it. Right? Hallelujah. So how many are willing to make it a habit to get into His Word? Because Jesus is hanging all of that about you should know the truth and the truth will make you free. He's hanging all of that on one thing, about if you abide in my Word. If you abide in my Word. The Word of God can show you how to make decisions. The Word of God can show you how to live victoriously, not scraping to get by. Last week we started a series on walking in the blessing, living in the blessing of the Lord. Not living with the blessings of God, but living in the blessing. The blessing of the Lord is a living thing. It's not just receiving a blessing from God. It's living in the blessing. All of the other blessings come out of living in the blessing. Amen? It's the power of God in our life that draws good things to us. The blessing is it's the life of God in us that just draws all good things to us. Man, that is so awesome. Hallelujah. All right, go with me to Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to show you how how to proclaim your freedom. How to get to the place where it becomes a habit just proclaiming your freedom. Amen? All right, I'm almost done here. In Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2 in the New King James, it says this, there is therefore now no condemnation. That's where you want to start. You want to start realizing that, hey, God is not condemning you. Saw something on YouTube the other day, and they were talking about how, you know, people need to quit preaching that because God is mad at sinners. I mean, God is not even in a bad mood. Now, don't get me wrong, God wants sinners to repent. You know, people say, well, God's all about love and acceptance. No, He's not. The Bible doesn't say anything about God as a God of love and acceptance. It says that God is a God of love and repentance. Right. So there is a need for There is a need for sinners to repent. What does repent mean? It means you're walking this way. Repent actually means to turn around and walk in the opposite direction. So if you're living your life towards sin, then the repentance would be go, I ain't doing that anymore. I'm going to start living for God. I'm going to pick up this Bible. I'm going to read this Bible. I'm going to see what the principles in this Bible are, and I'm going to become a disciple of what is in this book. So there is a need to repent. There is a need. We can't just give this sloppy grace where God will just be, he'll take you just the way you are and leave it at that. God loves you. God, we say it this way often. God accepts you the way you are. He loves you too much to let you stay that way. God will accept you the way you are, but his grace is there to forgive you and to help you and give you the power to overcome those things that you used to do. Amen. So there is that part, and that is important to know. But we got to start here, that there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your past is gone. It's not even covered up. Now, humanity might try to pull something out of the closet somewhere, you know, down the road to bring damage to you. But if you're talking to God, God has no record of it. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians that he has blotted out the handwriting on the wall that was against you. Blotted it out. It's gone. It no longer exists. Amen? That's why we can declare that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Man, that's freedom in itself. Knowing that God's never going to hold my feet to the fire for any mistake I've ever made because Jesus shed his blood to forgive me. And being able to say, Jesus, thank you for shedding your blood for the forgiveness of my sins. They are gone. They're not even history in God's eyes. They no longer exist. Amen? So he says here, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh or to this natural earthly way of doing things, but according to the Spirit. Amen. Verse 2 says, why? And it tells us why. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the laws of sin and death. Made me free from the laws of sin and death. In other words, the laws of sin and death no longer have power over me because I have given my life to Christ. I have surrendered my mind, my heart, my will, my emotions. I've surrendered everything to Jesus. And because of that, the laws of sin and death no longer have power over me. Sickness and disease has no power over me. It only has the power that I give it. Poverty and lack only has power that I give it. Hatred, jealousy, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, it only has power that I give it. It can't even take it from me. I have to give it. So what if we made the decision today, I'm not giving the devil another nickel to work with. I'm not giving him anything else. Everything he brings up, you're a liar, I've been forgiven. We're in the discussion. Amen? We're talking about proclaiming your freedom. Declaring your freedom today in Jesus' name. That word made free, it means to liberate, to acquit. To set free, to deliver, that's what the blood of Jesus does. Anything that you struggle with in your life, the blood of Jesus has given you the power to overcome. It only has power to the level you give it. Alcohol only has power that you give it. Pornography only has power that you give it. Amen. Drugs only has power that you give it. You say, well, I got involved with this stuff. Now I can't get out of it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I'm not saying it's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. But I'm telling you that the grace of Jesus Christ on your life gives you the power to overcome every obstacle, every challenge, every struggle. The blood of Jesus has made provision for it. Amen. Hallelujah. This word made free, in the New Testament, this word is used exclusively for Jesus setting believers free from the dominion of sin. Every time you read this in the New Testament, made free, it is used exclusively for Jesus giving us power to overcome sin. Amen. Now, let's look on down to verse 5. I want to look at this, and then we'll close. Romans chapter 5, New King James as well. This is how you overcome. All right? Verse 1 says, "There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Verse 5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh..." Or to the flesh is just a natural way of being in this earth, not taking God's power into consideration at all. But for those who live according to the flesh, I'm going to read it the way it is, and I'm going to read it how I read it when I read it. Does that make sense? Because it'll help you, because it really helped me. All right, let me read it the way it is. All right, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, let me tell you the way I read it, because this is going to help you, because I know it helped me. And this is what it means. For those who live according to the flesh, they live according to the flesh because they have previously set their mind on the things of the flesh. And those who live according to the Spirit, they live according to the Spirit because they have previously set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So what are you putting your mind on? What are you putting your mind on? What are you allowing the enemy to tempt you with instead of running to the Word? Because as we get these negative thoughts and we allow them, you know, in Matthew it said, Jesus said this, take no thought saying. How do you take thoughts? You begin to talk them out. The more you talk about, the more real and more solid they become in you. So the more you talk about defeat, the more you talk about how sick you are, the more you talk about how poor you are, the more you talk about how bitter you are, the more you talk about how jealous you are, the more you talk about how fearful you are, and all these things, it because you're saying it, it's starting, each word is like another brick in the wall. You keep talking, you keep talking, you keep talking, you keep talking, and you're building this wall. You're completely surrounding yourself with this wall of fear, of bitterness, of jealousy, of anxiety. I get it. Anxiety is a real thing. I get it. I understand that. I'm not saying it's not real. And I'm not saying it's just a piece of cake to get rid of. But I'm telling you, if you will start building a wall of faith, you're building this wall of faith where anxiety can't get in anymore. Sickness can't get in anymore. Fear can't get in anymore. That's true freedom. Proclaiming your freedom, not your problem. Proclaim your freedom. Amen? Hallelujah. Philippians 4:8. I think I said that last verse was the last one, but this is the last one. I'm telling you all this stuff, how you need to change your things, but now I got to tell you what to think about, right? Just to tell you to change your thoughts and don't tell you what to think about, I mean, I'm doing you an injustice. This will only take about a minute. Look at this. People don't believe in me, but I'm going to change your faith right here. I'm going to change your faith. You watch. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 8 and 9, watch this. It says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing." And I'm telling you, one final thing, right? "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts." Something that pole is fixed. You can't move it. That chair is not fixed, right? So fix your thoughts. Set your thoughts and keep them set. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think. New King James, for that word think, says meditate on these things.
So think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise, not worthy of complaint. Think on good things. Keep, and verse 9 says, keep putting into practice. Keep putting into practice. That means when you change your thoughts and you're thinking on these positive things, things that are lovely and virtuous and praiseworthy, keep doing that. Keep doing. Don't just do it. Okay, Sunday afternoon, pastor said I should do this. Let's work on this. And then by tonight, it's all back to negativity. No, keep putting into practice all that you learned and received from me. Come on, right? Keep putting into practice all that you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then, everybody say then. Then the God of peace will be with you. Stand up on your feet. I told you I was going to change your faith. Say that again. Thank you. Thank you. I like hearing that. No. Come on, guys. Proclaim your freedom. Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to set you free. And for you, and the idea was for you to continue to keep on enjoying that freedom. Don't allow the enemy and the things of this world to pull us back into a negative mindset. Let's say, I'm done with the negative mindset. I'm done repeating all the negative news. I'm not talking about putting my head in the sand and ignoring that it's there. I see that it's there. They have made it very clear, all the mistakes and all the junk that's there. So I'm not ignoring it. I'm attacking it. But I'm attacking it in faith. It's not just about, it's not about attacking the politician. It's about attacking the spirit that is pushing these people to do these things. And you're attacking it with the word of faith. Say, no, I don't believe that. My nation is an amazing nation. It is still a godly nation. I don't care what it looks like. Our nation is still a Christian nation. It was built and founded on biblical principles, and it will continue to be that way. Amen. And we will not be robbed of our freedoms. You were established on godly principles when you gave your life to Christ. And if you're here today and you've not given your life to Christ, such an easy fix. It's as simple as going, Jesus, I surrender. I'm surrender. I want you to be in my life. Right? But your life, your spiritual life is built on godly principles. And God wants to be real in you. He wants to be alive in you. He wants to do amazing things in you, to you, and through you. Amen. So what if we just said, okay, God, I give in. I surrender. I want you in my life. Right? Forgive me, Lord, for getting caught up in the negativity of things. Forgive me for listening to all the stupid negative reports, even if the stuff is, how do I say that? Even if the stuff that is being reported is true about the negativity, that doesn't mean it can't be changed. It can be changed. You know, I always say this, facts change, truth never changes. So what if we begin to declare the truth over the facts that we don't like? We can change this. And we are changing this. We are changing this. We're changing what's going on in our nation by the way we speak over our nation. We're changing what's going on in our lives by the way we speak over our lives. Last week I gave you a challenge. I hope some of you did it. Hope all of you did it. All of you that knew about it. Did anybody remember the challenge? Okay, let me help you. Because I know people always remember everything their pastor says. So anyway, so let me remind you what it is. I challenged you last week to spend the week declaring the blessings of the Lord, not the curses of the enemy. Spend the week declaring the blessings of the Lord. So again, this week I'm challenging you again. Spend this week proclaiming your freedoms that you have in Christ Jesus. Now, the caveat to that is you're probably going to have to go read your Bible to find out what some of them are. But that's something we should be doing, right? Getting into our Bibles, finding out the promises of God. You don't have to read, start in Genesis. Get over into Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, right? All those, that's the letters that are actually written to the church of Jesus Christ. That's where you're going to find out who you are in Christ, what rights you have in Christ, and then once you know that, then you can start declaring some things. Amen.